This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. It is Wednesday, September 13th. Yes, we're back, and we're calling it Casual Wednesday. Steve Ewan, hi.
Hi.
How
are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for asking.
We took the whole summer off. We moved. I don't even remember. Did we record any at the new location? I can't remember.
I can't remember. I think this is the first one.
We'll call it the first one, even if it isn't. So
there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it's a sunny September, and there's lots of sports going on. And you seem to be, as usual, at all of them. How's your sports life going?
It's busy. I'm a little bit worn out, but we will gladly figure it out and do what we can to get as many different things in the paper and on our various web platforms.
Various, indeed. Are you most focused on the Giants opening the season or the Man Cup? What's going on in your life?
I just finished the baseball, so I was just
and the baseball
on that.
Yeah.
We wrote some Giants today and a little bit of lacrosse today. So we'll see what tomorrow brings.
What did you make of the whole? I mean, I know you wrote about it, but what did you make of the whole fracas last night at the was it the ceremonial face-off? The boys couldn't get along.
Yeah, I got kind of I had. You know, obviously, I was at baseball for Monday night and got a text that there was a bit of an episode for the ceremony of face-off in Game 3. Some of that may be the fact that there was some veteran New Westminster players, involved in the ceremonial ball drop, and there were some concerns about things getting a little too rough then, and that seemed to upset the Salmon Bellies, and I guess when it came out for Game 4, there was a bit of a kind of a concerted effort to make a stand, and Peterborough made a stand, and boys will be boys, kind of thing. So
it's that simple, hey?
It's that simple. It's a lot of bluster and bravado and things like that. So it'll be intriguing to see where it goes the rest of the series.
I guess the other thing about it, in a certain level, I mean, I know that in general people seem to be paying attention to it this year, but is it because it's at home? Is it because there's been some interesting little things? Is it because the games have been dramatic? What's your feeling there?
I think it's been I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't think it's been as dramatic as 2009. I think it's probably it's which was to me one of the great sporting events that I've ever been in, which was the Brampton Excelsiors beating the New Westminster Sandbys in 7 and winning all 4 of their games in overtime. It hasn't been that yet for me. I mean, the first 2 games were good. Again, I didn't see games 3 and 4 because we were doing baseball. But they're 2 very good teams. It's an amazing venue. I think if you were looking at best sports venues in BC, Queen's Park is, if it's not at the top, it's right next to the top for me. So I think that's, if you haven't seen any sort of sporting event there, particularly lacrosse, just the venue itself with the wood floor and the nooks and crannies in the building, I think it's really worth whatever the price of admission is.
Is it your favorite old-timey arena in Vancouver? I mean, are you old enough to remember there being Junior B hockey at Carisdale Arena, for instance, or is that before you?
I played at Carisdale Arena as a kid. I never saw any sort of games there.
I mean, I played there.
I may have seen a Vancouver Burrard game there back before they moved to the PNE, but I'm not 100% sure of that even. So yeah, Queen's Park to me is iconic. It's if I had to choose, Queen's Park and Nat Bailey, I would, that's a hard choice for me.
Yeah, let's talk about Nat Bailey.
That was a nice segue.
Yeah, great segue. Fun, fantastic. I mean, I went to game 3. So I missed game 4 last night, but 2-1 scores both nights. People had a great time, it seems like. You know, I mean, the Canadians this year, what, fourth title in 7 years? You know, the Canadians were a solid team this year, and the fans, I mean, we've talked before here about how the fans...
They were better than solid. I think they had the best record, and this is, the fourth straight year that the team with the best combined regular season record won the playoffs in that league.
Right.
You know, two high-end first-round picks, some very good Latin American players who aren't involved in the draft. They had some guys, you know, lower end picks that did exceedingly well. I think it's easy to forget that they had the worst record in franchise history last year. So I think the Blue Jays did a nice job of keeping this group together, I think is always important. They could have easily jumped the gun and sent a Nate Pearson up a level or sent a Logan Warmoth up a level. But I think to them having a group win together, I think, has some value.
Well, and also it's, you know, that this is a team, I think, or a group of prospects that, you know, they hope start to form the new core in 3 or 4 seasons at the major league level. Isn't it that simple? That let's get these guys together.
I think a year ago, I think you were thinking, the Blue Jays farm system is decimated with all those trades. And you look at Guerrero Jr. and Bichette and even Biggio to a certain extent up at high A for John Schneider in Florida. I think there's some reason to be excited if you're a Blue Jays fan. Nate Pearson was fantastic. Nate Pearson may have been the best pitcher we've seen come through Vancouver since they became a Blue Jays organization. And that includes Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez and Noah Syndergaard and, a few other guys. He was dominant. And, that's exciting. I Reggie Pruitt, who the center fielder, I think really came on as the year played out. And Riley Adams, the catcher, I think has got a chance to, showed reason to believe that he's got a chance to kind of move up levels and be, he's got a bat. And they can figure out some of the fielding stuff. So,
you and I talked about Pearson's. It's not just his fastball, which touched 3 digits at times. It was that curveball. I mean, I was sitting that game that I was at,
curveball and the changeup, he just doesn't throw hard. He's got a clue. The only concern has to be the fact that he's already had a elbow surgery in high school.
Right.
So you wonder how many bullets are in that arm, right? I think that's always the big concern. So they were careful with him. They really made, I think especially careful with him, even more careful than normal considering where they drafted him and the signing bonuses that garnered. So it's where they put him next year and how he plays out next year is going to be fun. It's going to be fascinating to see what he progresses to and whether he ends up being a Stroman or a Sanchez or one of those guys that makes quick work of the minors.
Do you have any sense of what they're thinking? I mean, we saw them move Osuna up quickly. We saw them move Sanchez up quickly. Is that a likely
Miguel
path?
Castro,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that a likely path, do you think, for Pearson?
I mean, that was a bit of a different group, so I don't know how it's going to change. Big, strong guy. I think we'll see where he starts next year and how quickly he moves up. I mean, they weren't, they jumped Guerrero and Bichette. We'll see what this group and how their mindset is and, where guys are, come spring training next year. I think is going to be fascinating. It's really, you thought about how bad that Canadian team was last year. And there was really not a lot of guys of interest. And now you think about it and think, they could have a real young influx of talent. I mean, we haven't even talked about, Casey Clemens.
Yeah.
Who you wonder if he's got the power to play first, but he drove in runs. And I mean, he was, a guy that seemed to understand the strike zone and how to get on base. And whether he can, you know, parlay that into, you know, getting up to the bigs. I you know, again, another guy worth watching.
It was interesting to watch Clemens because I feel like I saw him a lot this year. You know, he played a lot of first base and he just seems so calm all the time. Like, you know, there were some guys on that team that, you know, they would get really fired up, but not that he wouldn't get fired up. Like, you'd see him pleased, but just, there was just, you know, it is sometimes just how, that's how people's faces are built, but he was just so, you'd look at him and he was just so kind of collected quietly, but you could see, you know, there was a confidence there. He's an intriguing player to me.
Yeah, he's obviously seen some stuff over his time. And you think of what his dad went through, whether you like him or don't like him. That family has been through a lot with all the accusations and interpretations and things. And it was one of the things I found that anytime you talked about the group and talked about chemistry unsolicited, you would get that he was one of the leaders. You know, people would talk about how Casey Clemens was really key to the culture of that team, which was always kind of something that repeatedly came up. So, there's some fascinating prospects coming through the system right now, which you didn't feel like there were a year ago.
Before we move on to a sort of a combined Giants Canucks talk, I will throw this last thing out about Pearson. Just while I'm sitting here on the computer, I punched up his name, and interestingly enough, the first photo that comes up in Google is not Nate Pearson. It's Billy Koch, and hilariously enough, because it turns out one of the Jays blogs basically wrote about him in the sense of, you know, how he could possibly remind you of Billy Koch, who of course hit triple digits himself. Now, I think Pearson has more stuff than Koch did. I mean, Koch had that amazing fastball, and his career kind of nosedived because people started realizing it didn't move all that much. But what do you think of a comparison like that? Is it something that's fair to do to a young pitcher like that?
Oh, I think we're just naturally kind of born to comparison between different guys. Just a guy that seems to have that kind of savvy for pitching. I think they're going to give him a shot to be a starter. So that's my limited guess on things. But you remember seeing Stroman and thinking how great he was, and you know, different guys come through, and you know, Pearson seemed to be a level up from that even, right? And I remember watching Stroman live, thinking, gosh, like, it's not fair, right? Like, you felt bad for the opposing guys, and Pearson, just when he was dropping the changeup and the curveball after the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, you thought these poor 18, 19-year-old kids have no chance.
And I mean, that's what I saw when I think I texted you and I talked about the curveball, is that, you know, just, you know, sitting on the side, because I was sitting first row on the side, and I just watched these batters just kind of flail away at whenever he change speeds. Yeah. And it was just, you know, I mean, you're thinking this is potentially major league stuff when you see it that way.
He was a guy, and I think it was game one of the Spokane series. I think he gave up one hit, struck out 10, and walked 4.
Right.
And you thought, oh, geez, you know, like, the fact he walked 4, you were a little alarmed, right? Just that's how good he was. With a lot of guys, that would be like a career night.
Yeah,
so,
no kidding.
Yeah, and he was outstanding.
No kidding. All right, let's shift a little bit here to sort of our overlap of Giants Canucks. I know there's lots of other Canucks stuff out there, so we try not to dwell on it too much here. But you note, or I guess it was actually Rick Dhaliwal. Rick Scoop Dhaliwal.
There you go.
Noting that Dylan Plouffe has been called to Canucks training camp from the Vancouver Giants.
Great skater, great offensive instincts. I needs to develop a little bit in his own zone. I was going to go to Florida's camp, and it got canceled. If there's one guy out of the Giants that gets drafted this year, it might be him. Might be James Malm. I think he really took a step last year. I think if you're a Giants fan, I think that's one of the encouraging things, is that we saw guys take steps, which maybe we, you know, or a number of guys take steps, which we hadn't seen in the last couple of years. So, people that seem to know talk about how well he skates and that he skates well enough to have a chance to be a pro. You know, is he going to get a contract from the Canucks? That's a long shot. But it's a chance for him to develop some confidence and learn some of the game and maybe be a better player when he goes back to the Giants.
I mean, last year, another quick Google here. There's a story about him from January that you wrote, and the lead quote being, "The game seems to be slowing down for him." I'm a big believer that when you get comfortable, the game slows down for you. He seems pretty confident right now. I mean, that's the sign of a player who is really finding his groove, isn't it? That
I think they have a number of offensive types. I think they're going to be, that's Joey Kendrick. Offensively, they're going to be better. I think their power play, which was dreadful last year, can't be nearly as bad with the number of guys, guys on the back end that move the puck so well. So I think Plouffe's got a chance to have a very good year.
And really no surprise that Joey Kenward is calling you while we're talking about WHL defensemen, is it?
Not at all. He seems to know. It's going to be an interesting year to see which guys make it off the blue line with the Canucks as well.
Well, I had a chat with Evan McEnany.
So that was another segue.
Yeah, this morning, and I'm going to have a story, I think, probably posted on Thursday is the plan, I think. And yeah, I just had a nice chat with him about how he's feeling about his position going into training camp. He's in the mix. He's a guy that needs waivers to go down. So you kind of have a hard time imagining the Canucks exposing him to waivers. They do like him. And we talked a bit about what's this training camp all about for him. And, he was pretty honest. He doesn't, like all guys, he said, you can't really sit around and do what everybody else is doing. You can only look at what you're doing. And, we had a nice chat about what went well for him. And he talked a lot about how much leaner he has come in this year. I mean, it wasn't literally him saying, "I'm in the best shape of my life." He's just like, I've changed the way, my body is. And that was actually part of last year's story, apparently. It was that early on in the year that Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner felt that he was a little too heavy and they wanted him to lean out. And he did. And they worked really hard, I think, over the first kind of 15 games to sort of change the shape of his body, I suppose, and it immediately started to benefit. And he actually ended up playing a lot on the first unit power play last year. And he's a player who can move the puck. He's a good skater, good vision. So I think he's a really interesting sort of fly in the ointment, if you will, because you look at of the defensemen that are, they've got in theory 10 defensemen fighting for 7 or 8 spots. And, given how things have gone with Andre Pedan, you kind of figure maybe he goes down or they tried to send him down. And then there's Alex Biega, who's been a good soldier for the Canucks for a couple of years, but, he's a depth defenseman. That's what he's going to be. And he's a bit older. And if you're going smartly, you pick the younger guy. And so maybe Biega gets put on waivers and all of a sudden at McEnany's in that 8-man mix and is fighting for ice time on the third pairing. It's an interesting situation for him, I think.
Especially with Travis Green there.
Especially with
Travis Green. Nolan Baumgartner there. Yeah. I think that really adds to it. But which of the forwards makes it?
Well, that
I know you were a big Thomas Vanek signing guy. I don't know if I buy that as much as you do.
Well, I mean, I said it in the sense that if this is a team that, this is a team that's trying to think proactively and trying to add more picks in the next years to come. Then he's the kind of guy that you roll the dice on, hope he does really well, and then you can flip him to a team that could use a depth scoring winger and get a draft pick for him. But, that's why I'm a fan of it. I think the potential for that kind of scenario is good. I do wonder, though, especially in the light of Jim Benning's interview with Bob McKenzie on the weekend, if in the end, I've been kind of picking away trying to write a little story about this. Is Jim Benning's, fatal flaw is that he just loves building hockey teams too much, that in the end that they may be talking about trying to rebuild, but he just can't kind of help himself. He's like, this guy's an NHL player and this guy's an NHL player and this guy's an NHL player, and not kind of sit back with the kind of patient look with young guys. I mean, there was some talk about that the other day where it was just like, well, what do you think about that? And he goes, well, I know that people want to see the young guys. That's nice. But, you know, we're playing to compete. And you know, part of that is because Benning's trying to get a new contract. I think that's the other dynamic.
And obviously, they're trying to get playoff dates.
Yeah.
Which is about income and stuff. I'm simple. I just want to see at least one young forward, whoever it is, play in the top nine and get a chance. And I think you have to move the story forward. And whether it's Besser or Virtanen or whoever, I think you need to get a forward into that top nine and get them some power play minutes and kind of move the story along and get that next generation and that next group coming through. Succession plan, I guess, is my catchphrase.
I think Besser does have a strong case. I mean, I know they brought a couple other guys in and you look at a guy like you look at a guy like Scotty Upshall,
Ryan White.
Ryan White. I mean, but both, you know, Scotty Upshall, I've always been a pretty good fan of his. Nice, solid depth forward guy who plays the game well. Ryan White, obviously, a bit more of a banger, kind of guy that, hey, if you're worried about Derek Dorsett's future, he might be the kind of guy that you bring in instead. We know that Brendan Gaunce is on the shelf for a while. Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're talking about young guys, I think Besser, there's a strong case for Besser to stick on its own. I'm not sure he gets the top six role he probably should be playing in, but that's not the end of the world. I mean, there's lots of guys that have...
As long as he's top nine, though.
Yeah.
I think as long as they're not trying to bump and grind with him on the fourth line, I think that's fine. And not, you know, having him in and out on a regular basis. I think you need to give him a chance. I think they need to do it. Whatever the opposite they did with Virtanen and Jared McCann, I think they need to do the opposite of whatever that is. I think that kind of has to be the plan. Yeah. So yeah, it's with the PTOs. Part of me still says this is simply roster depth with losing a portion of the group to China. Yeah. I think they need some veteran guys around. I really wonder what kind of whether they're legitimately interested in those guys or just kind of bringing them in to get them through training camp.
Well, I think you look at there's roughly, there's probably 13 spots and you can sort of pencil in most of the first dozen. And then, I mean, like I said, if there's a question with Dorsett to start the season, which I think is a bigger chance than they've been letting on, you start wondering, okay, there's all of a sudden an easy spot to slot Reed Boucher in. Is there a slot for Virtanen? And then is there a slot for Jason Megna, who, the last coach loved and we have no idea what the current coach thinks about. So, and then of course there's Anton Rodin, who, I think it's nice the Canucks did him a favor and brought him back, but, certainly what he's gone through, it's hard to imagine him actually making the roster.
Not off the top, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, you could see him going down and maybe, creating some things for himself. But, the fact is that they are deeper than they were a year ago offensively.
Yeah, I think they've gotten more talent there, yeah.
Yeah, you do wonder about the goaltending. Mm. I mean, you don't. I mean, it's just not as proven.
No.
And you still. There's still some question marks on, defensively. So,
do you go back to Edler?
They
Tanev?
Are who they are.
Yeah, they are absolutely. Do you go back to Edler Tanev as your first pairing?
Stetzer and Edler were awfully good. I think there's some really. I think that's going to be a work in progress. I think there's the defensive pairings are going to be pretty fluid. I think so.
I mean, I would love to see a pairing. I would love to see would be a Hutton Stetcher pairing. Actually, I mean, I've written about it before. I think Ben Hutton has a big role to play this year. I think he's a guy that perception was that he had a step back, but I mean, in the end, he scored more goals than he did a year before, and that was with barely any power play time. And on the power play, he was. I think an underused influence. There was no reason not to give it more time, given how bad the first unit was doing. So, I think there's some interesting stuff. I think this is a team that in the end, though, is running the risk of being better, but still not good enough. And really,
they're right in that bad slot, right? Yeah. Where either you barely get in and get get knocked out in four, or you just barely miss. Yeah, it's the ideal spot you don't want to be in.
No, that's for sure.
Right, because Scott Bonner, when he was with the Giants, talked about it a lot. Either you're going for it or you're building to go for it.
Yeah,
and they're kind of half in and half out.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think of these Cleveland Indians? They won their 21st straight game today, setting a new American League record.
I thought Edwin was you know, kind of trending the wrong way. That's obviously not you know, kind of not correct. It says a lot for what pitching does. You know, to have the guys they've got and the number, they just keep trotting on guys, and it's not. I mean, they've had their injuries, they've had their kind of missteps, and they just keep guys just keep performing for them. So, pitching Lindor at short. You know, I mean, they've got. You know, they got a chance to be a factor, right? They're going to be a team that someone's going to have to beat to win the whole thing.
I saw someone else describing their pitching as positive. I mean, I think based, you know, if you look deep into the numbers, this may be the best pitching rotation of all time. I mean, we certainly remember what the key to their success was last year, and it was that lights out bullpen, but. You know, they've got their starting rotation back in order, and they're a scary looking team. Is it going to be Indians, Dodgers in the World Series? You think?
That'd be fun, eh?
Yeah,
it'd be fun. I mean, I think baseball has managed with as much as the wild card. You know, takes away some things. I think there's some fun. Boston's a fun team. Houston's a fun team. You know, there's some really fun things to look at. I mean, Washington is a fun team. The Cubs are, you know, you go up and down the list. There's all sorts of teams you kind of go, God, you know, I'd like to see them in the playoff series. I'd like to see them in a playoff series. So, you know, I think about all the good young shortstops in the game, and, you know, Bogarts and Lindor and Correa and Sager, and you go up and down, and you think about just what it would be like to see those guys matching up in playoffs. So.
Absolutely.
Baseball playoffs to me might be the best playoffs.
Yeah, I pretty much agree, especially because they're like pretty much every day, bing, bang, boom, in, out, let's go.
Yeah.
The
NBA doesn't mean, I mean, the NHL first round is always fun, and then it kind of peters out until the final. The NFL is, you know, you get some great years and then some bad years. The NBA just doesn't kind of catch with me anymore.
I usually watch the finals, and I'm sort of aware of the narrative that's been going through the season, but I don't really watch NBA till the finals. So,
okay,
all right, buddy, you ready? You got your.
Are we doing the barbecue, or are we re-renting the barbecue?
You want to re-rent? Well, no, people love the barbecue.
Then barbecue we shall.
All right, you got someone in mind?
Tyler O'Neill, Maple Ridge Zone, now a St. Louis Cardinals prospect after the trade. Mm-hmm. Kind of a strange trade. I didn't really get the trade. You know, why Seattle wanted to ship him out. It started so slowly. He's up to 31 home runs and 95 RBIs.
That's very impressive. I mean, he had a slow start to the year.
That's what he finished regular season at. Right? And his counting playoffs right now, he's in his last 10. He's hitting .354 with six homers and 20 RBIs.
That's very, very impressive.
Right.
Well, you know what? I believe now a multiple time invitee. He's been in the barbecue a few times, I think.
And I think if you've seen the guy, I think he's probably, you know, a big strapping guy with probably, you know, likes his steak. He'd probably have a good time at a barbecue.
I think so. You can demonstrate push-ups. He's
with the Memphis Redbirds. They are in the PCL championship starting, I think it's Wednesday.
That's really PCL goes this late? Like playoffs are
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which be sorry, Wednesday's today as you know, as we tape this.
Yeah. Well, I know it's okay.
There
so
you go.
I think casual Wednesdays is going to be how we do things from now on because Tuesdays have been kind of tied up by those guys doing the Geek versus Greek. So
I love those guys.
Yeah. So anyway,
I don't remember after invite them to the barbecue.
Well, I'm going to invite Sloane Stephens.
Oh, there you go.
Great story from the summer of tennis and Denis Shapovalov because. You know, people can't get enough of him. So two young tennis stars, one who I think was a very exciting story at the U.S. Open this year. And then, of course, the Canadian because everybody's a Twitter about him. See what I did there?
I like what you're up to.
There we go. Anyway, yeah, and they can give us some tennis lessons.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Steve, I've got this McEnany story coming tomorrow. I'm not sure what else I'll be up to, but what exciting sports stories do you have on deck for the rest of the week?
I think we got some Giants, some lacrosse, and some baseball and all sorts of things. So we will be hitting a vast array with our shortened lineup. We now have to be more versatile.
As Botch has said, we're making VanSun Sports great again. Well, it's a statement of fact because the only sports guys left are province people.
Yes.
I know he's referring to other things.
No
comment, right?
I'm a big Botch guy. He makes me laugh.
Yeah. Well, I've got a Botch story. So, you know, he does the whole he was telling me today. He does the whole he's on his way to Denver for his annual fish tour. Which he loves to do,
yes.
and he sort of
that's not fly. That's the band.
Yeah, he drops off his little story about thinking that Horvat's going to get a bridge deal and feeling reasonably confident in the source, and you know that of course blows up in his face, and you know even then he didn't think it was a story. He kind of gets some heat from work, which he's talked about on the recent Batcast, because he was like, no, it's not. You know, anyway, realizing, and I actually end up texting him. He goes, man, I really should have rethought that one. And then he loses his phone in Denver at some point.
Oh, I didn't hear that part of the story.
Well, this is where the story gets good. He loses his phone in Denver, which he also mentioned in the podcast. Then he actually manages to slice his thumb while he's making a salad, also mentioned on the podcast. Now, what he added to the story today.
I missed the phone story on the podcast, but I didn't hear that part of it.
But what he missed, what's been missing now, and he added to the mix today, and I'm sure he'll tell someone about, was it turns out in the meantime, ahead of NFL season launching last weekend, he had a couple fantasy football drafts and ends up with the first overall pick in both drafts. So who does he pick?
Nice.
Who does he pick? David Johnson. Now, do you know what's...
No.
Yeah, right? So David Johnson, of course, now out until... Bruce Arians opening the holidays, but yeah, forever. So Botch is, in huge trouble in fantasy football. So I quite simply told him, because I don't know if people have noticed, but he's been going clean shaven again. And I told him, Botch, it's time to bring back the beard.
It's something.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our friend, Mr. Botchford. So.
That's a good Botchford update. We should have a weekly Botchford update.
Weekly local sports media personality update. We could just tell a story about, like Joey Kenward could be next week or something.
Brendan Batchelor.
Shared an elevator with Brendan Batchelor. We shook hands. I congratulated him on his new job.
I'm excited to see how he does.
Yeah. Well, God knows he did about 30 jobs for the Giants, so.
No, I'm excited. And I mean, I thought John, I was a John Abbott fan too. So, I think Brendan calls a very strong game. I think he does a good job of painting pictures out there. So,
John Abbott also at the ring today. So there you go. Maybe we'll get John on. John, could
very
be a
good
guest.
Guy.
John could be a good guest. All right, Steve, we've run long here as usual. Good hearing from you.
Well, nice. First one we've done in a while.
Yeah, man. We'll see you next week.
Well, I just hope that B.B. Lee and Jordan Bateman are good.
Me too. Eddie Lack as well.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that.
See you, buddy.
All right, thanks.